Oh, where the shadow region afar. Will not the deepening darkness brighten the glimmering star? Then when the night is upon us, why should the heart sink away when the dark midnight is over? The richest perfume I'll soon be at home over there. For the end of my journey I see, many dear to my heart over there are watching and waiting for me.
I welcome each and every one of you here this morning. It's good to see you. It's good to see the visitors. It's good to see the regulars. It's good to see some I didn't expect to see. I purposely have not shaken hands with anybody because I've either got sinuses or something, and I don't want to give nobody nothing. My wife asked that she be excused today, and I told her it might keep somebody from getting something to stay home. Did she asked that we she hoped that we had a good meeting today, so that's why I'm being standoffish today. And please don't feel hard about it. It's good to see those that have come out. We have several that's unable to be with us. We certainly want to remember them in our prayers. It's good to see Sister Carol, and she's asked us to remember Brother Pete and our prayers, which we try to do, and hope that the Lord will give him the appropriate comfort and peace that he so much needs. And we ask that the Lord be around Sister Carol also. We know that if nobody's ever been in a position of caretaking, it can be a hard job. You need our prayers also. We're thankful you was able to be here. We want to remember Sister Mayjoy that's still been a little bit weak. We hope that Lord is with her this day and can come back as soon as she regains her strength. We certainly will remember her. Thankful that her family is able to be here this day. It's good to see Brother Haynes here, Mr. Haney, both going through problems and under doctor's cares, and it's always a joy and a comfort, and it's whether you know it or not, it strengthens me to see people come out that has more problems than I do. So I thank you for helping me. But we all have problems. We all have trials and tribulations in this life. And, the Lord never told us that we would be free of cares and troubles in this world. Denominations out there say, well, you'll just join this church, you'll be rich, you'll be free of troubles from now on, you'll be on the easy street. Scripture doesn't back that up. As a matter of fact, if we read where Jesus cometh out of the water from being baptized himself, the first thing happened, he was led into the wilderness and was tempted with Satan. And so it kind of set the pattern of what we're to go through. And the Lord says he didn't ever promise to remove the stones and the deep places and the tree limbs and the ruts out of our roads. He never said that. He said, I will be with you, and I'll help you get over the hard spots, and I'll help you get through the deep waters, and I'll help you to go through the fire. And he said, go through the fire. He didn't say, I'll leave you in there. He said, I'll go through the fire with you. You'll come out on the backside, and you'll say, thank goodness for God's mercy. And that's the beauty of God's grace and his protection, is that he said he would never leave us, and it's a God who cannot lie. And so many of us have been through trials and tribulations like that to know that surely that if it hadn't been for God's mercy and his grace and his love and his strength and his comfort, we wouldn't have got through a whole lot of things. That's why you can hear in the singing of an older group, and don't fuss up for saying that, but when you're young and you read how God's promised to do all these things, it's a tank of hope. But as you go through life and as you get a few more years behind you and you look back and see, absolutely, God has been very gracious to me. I wouldn't have got through this, or I couldn't have done this if it hadn't been for God. And certainly I'm a testimony of what God can do and will do, and we can all say that. So as an older people sing these songs of Zion, you can tell it's coming more from the heart, because they know and they've felt and they've experienced what God can do for them. So we come this day to worship God. We come to glorify His name, to lift Him up. And that's all we come for. But it's kind of like the icing on the cake. You're eating the cake, but that icing's good. That's just that much better. And if we can come and we can gain a strengthening from that, we can gain a reassurance from our worship from God. That's the icing on the cake. And I hope we can go away from here this day and feel like that we have walked with God today. Hope we can feel like we have understood His directions and have been able to receive some comfort and some direction as we go about our lives. And when we have more tests and more trials and tribulations come upon us, we can fall back on this faith that has been reaffirmed so many times throughout our life, that it's a good, solid faith. And you say, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what the doctor's going to say. I don't know what's going to happen. But I can put my trust in God. And that only comes from seeing what God has done for you. And it's truly a blessing. And I hope we can see that today. I'm glad to see each and every one of you here today. I ask God to bless you with an ear that you can hear His testimony and His directions for us. And that you might be able to be strengthened once again as we go through this life. This world's getting to be a pretty rough place, and it's nice to have a God that's able to be with us. So I'm thankful we're here. I'm thankful God has provided this place for us, and that we are free by the laws of this land to assemble here and praise our God. Brother Keith, you have a song?
174.
Number 174. My voice may or may not hold out. If I can't preach any better than I can sing, we will be a short time here, because it comes and goes. I ask you to overlook me. One of the worst things in the world is a preacher that is not conscious of his presence before a congregation. And you get some preacher up here that's stomping around and making a big show, or he's awful flashy and got a mannerism that irritates you or causes you to look past the Word of God and look at that preacher. I don't appreciate it, and I know you don't either. I certainly don't want to be a spectacle up here. If I can say something that's beneficial to you, we'll praise God for it. If I get to where my voice is squeaking, where it sounds irritable, where it's hurting too bad, or whatever, I'm going to sit down. I hope y'all understand that, because we're not here to make a show. We're not here to impress anybody or show what we do. We're here to praise God. So if I get to where I'm breaking up too bad, we'll just quit. So sing when ready, brother.
As thirst the heart for water brooks, so thirst my soul, O God, for Thee. It seeks for God and ever looks and longs the living God to see, and longs the living God to far from the courts of God, my ears have been my food by night and day, while constantly with bitter sneers, where is thy God, the sky? pilgrims who kept the holy day, with throngs who kept the holy day. Oh, why art thou cast down, my soul, and why so troubled should thou be? Hope thou in God and Him extol, who gives His saving help to me, who gives His saving help to me.
That was great. O holy and sovereign God of heaven and earth, our faith looks up to thee, O Lamb of Calvary. Dear gracious God, we come before thee in humble submission to thy will, realizing, O Lord, that we know not how to pray and what to pray for. Knowing, dear God, that we have our trials and our tribulations upon this earth. Thankful, O Lord, not only for the blessings of this day, but thou hast declared that thou wilt go with us. What a precious promise, O Lord, that we hold dear to our heart. When we look back and see that before the foundation of the earth, thou saw a people and separated them out and declared unto thy Son, these are mine. Gracious God, we thank thee for the sacrifice of thy darling Son on Calvary's tree, realizing that when he went into the tomb and rose on the third appointed morning, he declared for all that redemption was finished. Gracious God, that as our hope and our faith and our trust in the risen Savior, realizing that one day the Savior will come back in the crowds of glory, and call his children home, call those sleeping in the graves and scattered throughout this world, from the depths of the ocean to the tops of the mountains. By his command, O Lord, he'll call them and they'll gather together, and those which are still alive will meet him in the air and go back to heaven to be with him forever. Gracious God, what a wonderful promise and a hope that we have. We thank you, O Lord, this day, by the same power that created this earth by thy spoken word, by the same power that called thy Son out of the tomb, and by the same power that we base our hope and faith upon. We ask you, O Lord, to come into this meeting. We ask you to bless those that are in attendance. Bless them, O Lord, with a hearing ear and understanding heart. We ask you to be around about us that we may hear and we may see thy word proclaimed. Dear God, we ask that thou will allow us to understand thy grace, and grace alone that has saved a wretched people as us. Gracious God, we realize that by our sin we are condemned from heaven, and we are separated from thee, but by thy grace and mercy we are allowed to come back into communion with thee, and we thank thee, O Lord, for that. Gracious God, we ask you to be around about all those that's been mentioned. Be around about Brother Pete, O Lord, and give him a comfort and a peace that only comes from thee. We ask you, O Lord, to be around about Sister Mayjoy. Be around about her and lift her up and renew her strength. Gracious God, we ask you to be around about Sister Jamie. Be around about her as she goes before the doctors. Give her a good report, O Lord, and cause her to have a renewed health and a strength. Gracious God, we ask you to be around about Brother Clyde and lift him up in his time of need. All those, O Lord, that are suffering by the illnesses and the trials and tribulations in this world, we ask you to lift them up. Gracious God, we rely upon thee. We trust and hope in thee, O Lord, and we count it a privilege that we may be able to come before thee this day. We ask you, O Lord, to go about this meeting. Bless us, O Lord, that we may hear thy name proclaimed. We ask you to bless all the troops from foreign land. Bless this nation. Bless all those that gather this day in thy name. Bless all the church dogs all across this land and the other lands that lift up thy name. Gracious God, be with us. We thank thee, O Lord, for thy blessings. In Christ's name we pray. And amen.
Amen.
Amen. to a good meeting last weekend, annual meeting for the independent churches on top of the mountain. Had a bunch of preachers there, packed house both days, Saturday and Sunday, and Saturday evening. It was a wonderful time of communion and fellowship. Got to hear preachers I hadn't heard in a long time. It was a time of rejoicing, certainly, because it does me good to see preachers and churches represented and fellow saints gathered together from many miles this way, this way, this way, all come together. And we're able to lift up our voices, whether it's singing and preaching or prayer, whatever it might be. It's a wonderful feeling to know that you're not alone. And a lot of times you might feel that way, and a lot of times you are alone in this world, but it gives you another strength that when you meet with all these people, some of them you never met before, and they all come together, and we're all rejoicing in the same thing. There's no divisions, no cutting anybody down or trying to introduce anything new. It's all joined together in the spirit of the Lord. And it was a good time last weekend. When in the book of Titus, Apostle Paul writes to Titus, and he begins in the second chapter, and he says, in his instructions to Titus, he says, "Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." And that was the beginning of the meeting we had last weekend, that everything that I heard was of sound doctrine. And I'd hate to be the one to bring any unsound doctrine, because he probably got run out. There was enough people there that we could run him out. So that was a unifying force of the whole meeting, was that we all spoke of the same sound doctrine, I hope. And he says, concerning this sound doctrine, he says in the 11th and 12th verse, he says, "For the grace of God, which bringeth salvation, has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Now, he's saying because of this appearing grace, or the grace of God that has appeared, this appearing grace, that we ought to be in devotion, we ought to be praising God's name. And certainly, if we look back what grace is, we'll understand that that's our response. We ought to be in devotion. And I hope that's why we're gathered here today, is because His grace and mercy. Now, I know that when He says this grace that has appeared to bring us salvation, I know He's talking about Jesus Christ. But I want you to look at Jesus in the aspect of grace, and theoretically, just for a minute, separate grace from Jesus if you can. It's kind of like if you told me that the United States Postal Service brought you a letter. I know you're talking about a mailman. The mailman brought you a letter, but it come from the Postal Service. So when it says that this grace has now appeared, he's talking about the grace, but we know it comes from Christ. But I want you to separate that grace out from the one that brings it for just a minute. And because some people get confused about what grace is, and we need to separate that, separate it from mercy maybe. If we try to define the difference between grace and mercy, a whole lot of people are confused about that. And if you understand what that grace is, unmerited favor. That is God giving you something you don't deserve. That's what grace is. If you met somebody on the street and he had a pocket full of money and said, I got too much money, I need to give you some. He give it to you not because of anything you done, not because he's your best friend, because he had too much of it and he wanted to get rid of some of it. That was grace. You got that money not by anything you done. It was unmerited. So that's what grace is. It's God giving us something we don't deserve. And if you look at mercy, mercy is God's pity and compassion upon His people. And it's just the opposite. It's not giving us what we do deserve. And you can see mercy asked a lot of times in children. I know I threw the cat in the dryer, but I thought I was giving him a ride. And he's asking for mercy. And mercy a whole lot of times has a but hooked on it. I know I'm guilty. I know I deserve punishment. But, and that's what the but means, is I'm asking for mercy. So if you look at grace as giving us what we don't deserve, and mercy is not giving us what we do deserve. That's the difference of it. Now, if you look through the Bible, and people say, well, it doesn't look like God's fair. He rewards those that are evil and mean. The people who live like anything is going on, they seem to be the ones succeeding, and poor old saints, they're the ones has to suffer the most. And they say, God's not fair. They complain about God, but I don't really want God to be fair. I'm glad he's not fair, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life. So we know that we are sinners, and we all deserve punishment. And regardless of how many times we stand before God's throne of grace, I know I'm a sinner, but I'm asking for his mercy. I don't have anything to ask for. I don't have any reason to. But it was by God's mercy that allowed him to look beyond my faults. And it was purely by that. It was nothing that I had done. It was nothing I could hold up before God and say, look at me. I'm not bad at all. I can't say that. So I have to depend upon his mercy. And when God looked beyond our faults, and now we can see that we are truly blessed to be able to receive the Almighty God's grace and mercy. So we thank God. We ought to continually be praising him. We ought to be shouting hallelujah because of this precious gift that he has given us. Yeah, the gifts of mercy and grace, they're from God, and they're precious, and we ought to appreciate them. And a lot of times we don't. We try to take credit for it. But here Paul is saying, he says, based upon what God has done for you. Now, don't turn this around. A lot of people turn it around. He says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us, this is what we're supposed to do as a result of that. When we saw this grace of God, it taught us that we should deny ungodliness, worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present world. Don't turn it around. Based upon what God has done, the grace has appeared, then we should live soberly and righteously and godly in that world. This is how we live. This is nothing new. Now, people say, well, I need to live this way so I can get God's grace. That's not what it says. It says the grace appeared, you ought to do this in obedience. Very important. It separates a lot of doctrine there. But this is how we ought to live in the world. And this is absolutely nothing new. This goes all the way back to the book of beginnings in Genesis. We see in the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis when he's talking about how evil the world was. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also after that when the sons of man came in, and to the daughters of men and so forth. And he said, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only continual, only evil continually. That's pretty bad. That's pretty sad state of the world, when that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's bad. And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of this earth, both man and beast and creeping things and fowls of the air, and it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He says, even though everything on the world, everything that God had created on this earth was evil, God's grace and mercy spared Noah and his family. And we can see this grace and mercy all back to the Old Testament, when God called Moses out of the burning bush and told him to go deliver his children from bondage. You can see God's grace and mercy when God separated the waters and allowed his children to pass over. And you can see his mercy even demonstrated when God closed the waters over and destroyed Pharaoh's army. This was very merciful upon the part of God. There was no merit in it. No deservingness in Moses or any of the people. But what I want you to see is, as God looked over his people, they continued to be disobedient. They were living sinful lives. even after all the things that he had done for us. But now see the power of God's grace and mercy as we look back in Isaiah. And he says, come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though your though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What he's saying, it doesn't make any difference how red they are, how deep the stain is. He says, by my grace and mercy, this is a direct result of his grace and mercy, they will be made white as snow or white as pure as wool. Now I want to ask you, if we are recipients of this grace and mercy, and I was to ask each one of you, what is the highest purpose of one of these that has received this grace and mercy? What is the highest calling? What is the ultimate purpose of a child of God? Somebody might say, well, it had to be a preacher. A preacher has a very big responsibility. He's supposed to preach the truth. He's supposed to not allow any false doctrine or what they say it in Corinthians, I think it was any evil workers to infiltrate the truth of God's word. Preacher has a tremendous responsibility to uphold the truth and to maintain that truth in God's word.